So this is a pretty interesting case involving the Creative Commons license. Like I said, that's a very common permissive license used for content that's out there. And those of you probably all run into it in one form or another. It's often talked about as an open source license, although it's probably not technically an open source license. It's really not appropriate for software as much as it is for things like photos and text, et cetera. And it's a series of licenses that allow for very permissive use of the content by the public. It's a publicly granted license. In this case, this case involves a maker of educational materials that granted a Creative Commons license to the public for educational organizations, schools, to use this stuff for free for, quote, non-commercial purposes. And the facts of the case deal with the situation where a school took the materials to a FedEx copy shop and asked the FedEx store to make the copies for the school. And when the copyright owner, Great Minds, found out about this, they said, wait a minute, FedEx is charging for that copying activity. That's a commercial activity. That violates the terms of the Creative Commons license. And so they sued. They also, I said FedEx, and actually they sued both of them. The case we're going to talk about involves Office Depot. But both FedEx and Office Depot were sued under similar fact patterns. All right, so next slide. The particular license we're talking about here is a Creative Commons Attribution License, non-commercial, which basically has the licensor saying, hey, you can use this stuff completely for free, reproduce it, do whatever you want, as long as it's for, quote, non-commercial purposes only. And that is the clause that was put in front of the court with regard to this FedEx and Office Depot making these copies for schools. Next slide. And so the court looked at all of this and said, wait a minute, it really undermines the whole point of the license if licensees that are permitted, like schools, can't use a third party to help facilitate their authorized use. And thus, hiring a third party to make copies for a non-commercial use is kind of a pertinent to the underlying approved use and is approved. And to hold differently, the court says, would really prevent the non-commercial licensees from using their rights the way they were intended to be used, et cetera. And so the viability of the claim against Office Depot and FedEx, arguing that they were kind of necessary third parties to the authorized use by the schools who were the target of the license to begin with. Okay, next slide. So what does this mean for you drafting? Well, licensees, this premise is probably broader than just Creative Commons licenses. I think that it really stands for the premise that licensees are gonna get some leniency in enacting the license rights that they were supposed to be getting in the first place. But particularly with a Creative Commons license, is for kind of help. They have the right, the licensee is looking for that kind of help, they have the right to get it. And licensors, if they don't want their licensees to use that, are going to have to draft something more specific than generic commercial, a non-commercial use license like the Creative Commons license. And so it's really a good thing for licensors to keep in mind if they're going to let this stuff out, the unpermissive license, they need to understand that it's a little bit of broader grant than they're used to. And if they need to, they could draft their own version of a permissive license that says very explicitly, hey, you can't use commercial vendors to help you. When we mean non-commercial, we mean all the way across the map. Okay, next case. If we can get the next slide, there we go. So we talked about this briefly last year for those of you who were here, but I want to make sure we go into it in a little bit more depth. This is a case that has resolved a circuit split. It's a U.S. Supreme Court case, came out last May, about a year ago. That involved the question of what happens to a trademark license in bankruptcy. And called Mission, and then Technology filed Chapter 11 and rejected the license to Mission in bankruptcy. For those of you who follow this area, Section 365 of the Bankruptcy Code allows a debtor to reject any executory contract, and courts have held that a license agreement's an executory contract. So the licensor can say, hey, I'm going into bankruptcy. You need to stop using my trademark or my copyrighted materials or my patents or what have you. A little bit of a background about IP licenses and bankruptcy for those of you who have not been following this carefully. You know, this has been a tricky area for a while. This kind of came up, it all started in the mid 80s in a Fourth Circuit case where for the first time, a court kind of looked at an IP license and said, hey, wait a minute, that's executory and you can reject that license in bankruptcy. No longer use the IP at all. And that was a real problem for licensees, particular patent licensees, or all kinds of licensees, who then lobbied Congress to say, wait a minute, this puts us at undue risk. And so Congress enacted Section 365 of the Bankruptcy Code to protect licensees and allowed them to continue using IP even if a rejection of the contract under bankruptcy had existed and had occurred. And they had the right to either treat the agreement as terminated, like the Lubrizol case, or retain the rights with certain limitations. And that gave licensees this comfort. Okay, next slide.